today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kenneth Copeland and presidential historian Doug Weed share a special message calling all believers to stand united.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Those of you that have been with us all week, you know, oh, man, some of the richest, just in-depth information that we've been receiving from the Lord through the ministry of Doug Weed. Doug, God bless you, sir. Few days here that we've been together, I've got a strong, strong witness in my spirit that God is right now positioning you for the greatest adventure of your life. I know it's about to come to pass. And I'm just glad to get the opportunity to spend some time with you, because ain't no telling how busy you're going to get in the future. I know you're always, your busy potential is always there. I don't know what a busy man you are now. But God has prepared you all of your life for where you are right now. And there's something vital to the body of Christ, vital to the kingdom of God, that is just about to be released by the hand of God. And it's a good thing. It'll be a powerful thing.
Well, I think I may know that it's taking a stand for these ministries, these six Pentecostal ministries that have been targeted. I would do it if six Jewish ministries were targeted, or six Mormon ministries were targeted, or six Catholic ministries were targeted. But boy, I feel it, because I grew up as a Pentecostal. Yeah. And I had people of other religions calling us demon-possessed, and my dad preached that doctrine that you preach. And I've seen it all over the world. I've been a corporate speaker all over the world. And when I speak in other countries, I see the same moral oppression, the sense. You see it in communist countries, the guilt. Did you know that in China, during the counter-revolution, there was a period where they outlawed pet birds? So they go in, the Red Guard would go into a house and get some old grandmother's pet bird and kill it
because
it consumed seed. So guilt is not something that is confined to Christian people. There's guilt in every culture and the Red Guard wanted people to stop on green and go on red because they felt it was sacrilegious to stop at a red light, because red was the good color. And I would teach to get through to people on these doctrines that you're teaching in the church, to just get through to a secular mind. I would talk about the Geneva Convention in 1954. I said, in 1954, we have all these differences. We're atheists, we're believers, we're Catholic, we're Protestant, we're Jewish, we're Muslim, we're Hindu, we have all these beliefs, but we had to function together somehow. We had to find some moral common denominator, so we met in Geneva. We went into a hotel room, and we locked the doors, and we said, we're not getting out till we solve this thing. And we solved it. And you know how they solved it? They solved it by saying, welcome aboard United Flight 147 to Dulles. We'd like to acquaint you with some of the safety features of this Boeing 707 aircraft. There are exits fore and aft and over the wings. In the unlikely event, the cabin should depressurize, an oxygen mask will appear over your face, place over your mouth, and breathe normally. And then they said, for Catholic airlines like Air Argentina, Islamic airlines like Air Pakistan, communist, atheist airlines like Air Float, Lutheran airlines like Lufthansa, whatever it may be, all over the world, they all agreed and said, if you're accompanied by a child, or if you're accompanied, a child is accompanying you, put your own mask on first and then assist your child. Because what they learned in that hotel conference in Warsaw is that a good Jew, a good Christian, a good Hindu, good Muslim, a good atheist will die up there because they'd rather protect their child. And somebody has to say to them, if you care about your child, listen to me. Put your mask on first, then help your child. And the point I will make to those secular audiences is you can't feed the hungry if you're hungry. And you can't help the weak if you're weak. And you can't stand up for the poor if you're poor. You've got to put your own mask on first. And the ministry you've brought to people all over the world, to see it at work in Nigeria, a destitute country that has this new emerging middle class, and never would have ever believed that in a country like Nigeria, has come from the teaching you've given that redemption is now. It's for eternity, but it's also eternity is starting now. Your eternal life begins now, not after you die. It's right now. You're in eternity now. This is a part of it. And God loves you. He's not your enemy. He's on your side. He'll help you. You're having problems in your marriage. He's going to help you if you go to him. You're having problems in your finances, your career. I would hate to see that message extinguished. I hate to see it under attack. And I would hate to see it compromised in any way out of fear of government intrusion. So that's why I'm involved. I believe it.
Praise
I've
God.
Experienced it.
Well, now that you... You've said that. Bring us to a place where you your overall summary of all of this and where it's going, what we need to be doing over the things that we've said over the last 3 days.
Well, I would say we haven't said this, but we should. I would say the public, those who are watching us, those who love your ministry, should be involved. And those who don't love your ministry, who love religious freedom in America, should be involved. There are basically three points that I see. The first one is, this is not Kenneth Copeland's doctrine. These are doctrines from Scripture. And even if you don't subscribe to them, you have to admit there's a scriptural rationale for this. And under the religious freedom in this country, this message ought to be freely preached and practiced. For 500 years... this was the predominant interpretation of Scripture from Constantine to St. Francis. So there's room for this doctrine. There are people who only live for the hereafter and aren't even taking care of themselves today because of the Scriptures that have been emphasized to them. And they need to know that God loves them today and will work with them today. And they can live a godly, forgiven life, a comfortable life, have a happy marriage now, not just in the hereafter. That's number one. And the second point I make is that the first point being this is a legitimate doctrine that it should be preached and practiced. And this the second point I make is that this has been helpful to society. I mean, we could talk about if you want to examine religions that are harmful to society or helpful to society, you could pull any religion apart. You could say a religion that teaches poverty is a virtue is harmful to society and multiplies poverty. You could say that people who say that suffering is part of penance for redemption is necessary for redemption. You could examine how that hurts people and is caused people to die. You could bring anecdotal evidence in of people mm-hmm. who say, well, you know, my mother just died. She felt she was doing something for the Lord, suffering, and she just gave up and died. But so the second point is that this doctrine has really been helpful to people. There's a whole new black middle class in America that owes a debt to this doctrine, to preachers who got up and said, no, you don't have to stay down. No, you don't have to take that job. You can get a better job, and God wants you to have a better job. That is not an evil doctrine. That the opposite, slaves obey your masters, was an evil doctrine, pulled out of context mm-hmm. and used to mm-hmm. keep people down for years. And the third point that I made is it's not fair. And if you agree with us, it's not fair, you need to help us. It's not, whether you're a Baptist or Pentecostal, if you agree that government should not be seized by one religion to persecute people of another religion. Now, if you want to target this ministry, there were all kinds of other denominations that preach the same ministry and persons who are ordained in other denominations who preach the same ministry, but they only targeted six Pentecostals. And if the Pentecostals, there's about 30 million Pentecostals in the United States, and if they roll over and play dead and let themselves be targeted and exposed to the media and have all their beliefs and their activities pulled out of context and shown by the media, who doesn't like anybody religious, it doesn't matter what religion it be. If that happens and the Pentecostals don't say anything about it or see anything wrong with it, then they can't complain when when the doors to their churches start being
what
closed.
What should they do?
Well, they should speak up. However they feel, they should speak up. They should try. They should get on the blogosphere. They should express themselves in editorials and letters to the editor and to the media and letters to government and comments on the editorial blogs. They should express how they feel, what they believe to be true, what their own experience has been. The people out there who've been blessed by your ministry ought to write in and say so there's that anecdotal evidence. There's no question that your ministry is having a positive impact, or it wouldn't be among the six most popular ministries in America. You can't have it both ways. So you have to, if you're a United States senator, either you're an elitist and you say, well, the people are so dumb, and that's what they've said in the past, the people are so dumb that we have to protect them. They're so dumb they'll believe this. There was a battle between liberal and conservative radio for a while. And I don't mean to get, I don't care whether you're liberal or conservative. If you love the Lord, it doesn't matter to me. But there was this battle, and the liberals in this case were very frustrated with conservative radio. Conservatives had taken over talk radio, and the liberals said, you know, the people are so stupid. The reason they believe this is they don't have any choice, and they just listen to whoever's on the radio, and that's why they do it. So we're going to start a liberal radio network and bring in our best celebrities and talented people, and we'll be a success too, and they'll believe us just like they believe. So they launched it, and it failed because it's driven by supply and demand. And right now, for good or evil, majority of people out there listening to the radio, they didn't want to hear it.
That's really the bottom line, particularly in this country.
And that's going to happen to television ministry. Mm-hmm. They could take you six off the air and six more would pop right up because there is a thirst in the body of Christ for this message. Now, some can say, well, that message is being overemphasized. That's what they said about the healing message.
Yeah, they did.
And they'd say, well, there's nine gifts. Why are you just doing all healing? But I think that we had to go through a period in the body of Christ where we had to have a shock of this doctrine of healing, and then had to be overemphasized for it to have a place, because it didn't even have a place. But after it had a heavy emphasis, it found a place with the other gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Well, it was the same way with us when we went in this ministry in 1967, that they said, well, they don't preach nothing but faith. Well, that wasn't true. But everything has the faith element in it.
Yeah.
So because it's impossible to please God without faith. But there was a long time where we were specializing in the subject of faith because nobody knew anything about it.
You're absolutely right.
And so you had to major in it to ever get it over to anybody.
To get it
working. Then they
be.
Came out and said, all they preach about is money. Well, no. We were preaching on heaven's economy and the way heaven economics work. It's two different systems. You got the Babylonian system that came out of Ham and Japheth, and all of that whole system, the whole world knows that system, and out of that came all kinds of slavery and problems and bad money choices and everything. But then over here is give and it'll be given unto you again, pressed down, shaken together, seek ye first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added to you. This whole economic system, and they didn't anybody know anything about it.
It's true.
So my son is executive director of the ministry, John. He said, then I'm tired of them saying that. So he ran a total research of everything that we had preached year after year for I don't know how far back he went. And actually preaching on financial prosperity compared to the scope of things that we preached during that same period of time in this ministry, it was way down there. I mean, like 2% or something. Mm. We were preaching other things. But this was the rub, the money part. Well, they're coming in there preaching that American gospel, but it worked in Nigeria.
Yeah.
And it worked in China. And it worked in other places around the world. So that's really the drive is not what I choose to preach. I don't choose what I preach. I preach what if every message I preach was exactly the same verse, the same text, and I didn't preach anything else for 60 years and fell dead. Then that's not my choice. That's what I'll do because I preach the word and he's the director of it. He didn't tell Jonah, but I mean, he gave him an 8-word message. And that's the only thing he had at the time. He was supposed to go over there and preach that. Well, here we are now in a place where Satan is trying everything he can to stop the flow of this. The devil's worst nightmare is a born again, Holy Ghost baptized, tongue talking, healing, believing preacher or believer with money enough to get done what God's called him to do. And he's always been able to effectively pull the plug on about whatever message it was by stopping the money flow. Because, like you said a while ago, you can't help the poor when you poor too, yeah, or anything else. Mm-hmm. So,
and you know, it's supply and demand. I tell myself when I go out and speak at a corporate audience what I did when I preached often in churches, that when I go out there, I got to remind myself there are people in that audience whose hearts are being torn apart because yeah, they're in a struggle in their marriage or relationship somewhere, or they're in financial trouble, or their health. And those areas, basically, great pain. But when you'd have people come up and you'd actually talk to them one-on-one what their need is, 9 times out of 10, it was money.
Yeah.
And that's a shame, maybe, maybe not. Maybe that's the reality of it. But 9 times out of 10, their struggle, their finance, most of the people watching right now, that's their struggle.
Yeah.
And so it's supply and demand. Your message was, I remember when your ministry first exploded, I lived in Springfield, Missouri at the time, and we had mutual friends that you know, Ted Muto and
sure,
others. I had other friends you don't know who started hearing your message, and it was explosive. It was like the sky had parted and the sun had come out because they were hearing things, practical things that they needed to know about life and about their finances and what the laws that God had set into place and how they worked. They were thrilled. They were thrilled by it, and it was explosive. So I don't think, I know that you've got to be on guard here to make sure it isn't extinguished. And you know, you're going to have a lot of people watching you on TV now because of the controversy, and it's a good time for you to go through basic 101, what it is you have taught that some people find so controversial.
You know, Doug, in 40-plus years of ministry, I have come to this conclusion. And looking at other ministries that are not called to do exactly what I'm doing. They're what, for the lack of a better phrase, they've called it, well, they're in another camp. Well, mm-hmm, I don't mean their camp wrong. Mm-hmm. They're majoring on one thing. I'm majoring on something else here. Mm-hmm. So, but I've come to this absolute conclusion in my thinking, and I'm going to see what you think about this. No ministry, I don't care what it is, if it's called of God, then the reason God called it is an answer to somebody that's praying that needed it.
I never thought
there were sick people crying out to Jesus. Mm-hmm. My God, you healed in the New Testament. Why can't you do it today? Mm-hmm. And so God called a little stuttering Cherokee Indian up in Oklahoma and put his anointing on him, raised him up from a bed of tuberculosis, and sent him out there to show him that it was for today. I'm totally convinced of this.
I believe it.
And when people were crying out to God, what must I do to be saved? He picked a tall, lanky, skinny guy named Billy Graham and equipped him and put a fire in his insides, man. And his ministry and Oral's ministry, all of us are the response of God to his people. David was a response of God to his people that were crying out for somebody to get us out of the mess we're in.
I believe it. I said to one secular reporter whose bent is that, well, the television ministers are on TV and they're manipulating these stupid people out there who don't know. I said, let me tell you something. These ministries are not creating followers of this doctrine. These ministries are the product of those people out there who read their Bibles. It's supply and demand. And they wouldn't be, they're only as good as their last sermon. If they quit preaching what those people need and what they're thirsting for and what they're seeking from God for, they'll be out of business.
Or if we were doing it for the wrong motive, it'll collapse. If that anointing lifts, it's over, buddy. I don't care if you're preaching in the same sermon. It is
over. You're absolutely right. If it that was not over. True, there'd be 600 television ministries that were calling by instead of six that the Senate would be calling for.
Oh, my goodness. Praise God. Brother Doug and I'll be back in just a moment.
The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine is distributed worldwide in over 135 different countries to almost 570,000 people. The BVOV is a 32-page, full-color magazine that includes feature articles by the Copelands, plus special columns and articles from a group of anointed men and women of God. It also has a special section of testimonies from people just like you who have learned to walk victoriously in Christ. Because of the partners of this ministry, the BVOV magazine will continue to roll off the presses, bringing faith, wisdom, encouragement, and love to readers around the world.
I have to read you this. I carry it with me all the time. In the name of God and the Son and the Holy Spirit, to the man of God, Pastor Kenneth Copeland, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, from Iraqi prisoner in Pakistan jail. Now, this is an Iraqi in jail in Pakistan. And age 30, I have just prayed the prayer of salvation, which is in the first page of your magazine, Believer's Voice of Victory. My decision is walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord God, our Maker, and His Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I need your help to start my new life in Christ, family. In the end, I thank my brothers in Christ from Nigeria for their help to me by sending this letter to you. Now, here's an Iraqi in jail in Pakistan being ministered to by Nigerians who took him a Believer's Voice of Victory magazine.
The Lessons from History package includes two dynamic books by presidential historian and New York Times best-selling author Doug Weed. All the President's Children and the Raising of Presidents will help shed light on the challenges and victories of American presidents and their first families. Launch into a historical adventure and learn how leaders are not only born, but made. Order the Lessons from History package for a special price of $25. Visit kcm.org and order your package online. Or you may call toll-free 800-575-4455. If you prefer to write, the address is Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. All the President's Children and the Raising of a President by Doug Weed. Order the Lessons from History package today.
Now, Doug Weed has written 27 books. All the President's Children, Triumph and Tragedy in the Lives of America's First Family, New York Times bestseller, Raising of a President, the Lives of Children that are involved in the presidency of the United States from different angles. These are dynamite books. He's written them. Other books that are just powerful from a viewpoint that most Christians don't have the privilege of seeing into because he's been in government. He's been in the lives of presidents and in different levels. And so get hold of these books. Vital information. Now, When he ministered to our staff the other day, I ministered during that same session, and our attorneys were there, our counselors, and they had input into this. If anybody, not just to order the books, but anybody that wants it, I'll send it to you free and postpaid the DVD of that chapel service. Now, I want you to get this down. We've got places to get the latest updated information. Go to Doug Weed's blog, dougweed.wordpress.com. Now, we have a new website that has been born out of all this, believersstandunited.com, where we can deal with a lot of issues here, particularly for pastors and ministers and so forth. Then religiousfreedominamerica.com. This is a website that Brother Doug has just launched. I am so excited about that. This is the kind of information we've been needing all the time. And frankly, Doug, we didn't know where to get it. But thank God, here we go again. The people were crying out, including me, crying out for a place for this information. And God said, Doug, go do what I want you to. That's just the way it works. Praise God. Amen. Now, God, hey, get busy today. Don't just sit around and grab at the TV set. Do something. This is Kenneth Copeland, Doug Weed, reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Get ready to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland along with other anointed ministers from across the country as we come together with believers from around the world. Spend an entire week in the Word at these life-changing meetings in 2008. Start things off in California at the West Coast Believers Convention, June 30th to July 5th, this year at a new location. Join us at the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Then head down to Texas for the Southwest Believers Convention from the 4th to the 9th of August at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Finally, come to the Great Lakes Believers Convention August 18th to the 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. For more information on these or other Kenneth Copeland Ministries meetings, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.